My ideal body. Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful to experience our ideal body? My ideal body. Thought for today. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. My ideal body. We think about our ideal body. We talk about our ideal body. But what do we really know about our ideal body? Do we know what it is? Do we know how it is conceived and how it is developed and how it is processed, so to speak? And the answer is no. We don't have any idea what it is. And but we can have some generalizations about it. Consider, for instance, my ideal body. That's the original body. The original purity and integrity. Now, what is the original purity and integrity of a body? The original purity and integrity of a body is it had no operations, no appendix, no adenoids, no circumcision, no this, that, or the other thing. It's just all there. It's all there. There's no imperfections. Now, think of this once, just for the heck of it. The ideal body has the perfect length of fingernails. They never are cut. They never grow too long. They're never too short. They're always perfect. The ideal body has the perfect cuticles. You never think of that, do you? But your cuticles, always in the perfect position, growing absolutely right. I mean, they're ideal. They're ideal. We want to realize it's ideal. It's not a matter of wishing for something or not a matter of wouldn't it be nice if, but it's the ideal. Now, what is our ideal look? What is our ideal complexion? What is our ideal hair? What's our ideal eyes? Our ideal ears? What's our ideal teeth, you know? What's our ideal body? The physiological shape of our body, what is it, the ideal? Well, is it the ideal as a man, a woman, a child, an animal? What is the ideal of our body? Now, the ideal of our body is not male or female. The ideal of our body is androgynous. It is both, if you will. Yet, it is neither. Now, that's hard for us to conceive. It's hard for us to even think about it. But that's the ideal. Because you cannot have a dualistic ideal of a man and a woman, because there is no dualism in the ideal. The ideal form, the ideal being, it's the androgynous being. Okay? What's the ideal foot? Is it big, small, wide, thin? What is it, you know? What's the ideal vision? Is it 20/20 vision? Or is it the ability to see anything you want to see, whenever you want to see it, whether it's another planet, another universe, or maybe across the room, or whatever? Do you want to be like we spoke of the eagle or the hawk the other day, as it circles around up above, looks down, sees a mouse down there, and he zeroes in on that mouse and he goes zoom. He can see it from way up there, hundreds of feet in the sky. And then he zooms in on it, but he's got to be able to see it when he gets close to it too. Because when he's close to that mouse, he's got to be able to zero in on him to have his dinner. And so he's zooming in there, and his eyes are adjusting at every moment that he's coming down for the different distance that he is from the mouse. Now, you say, well, you could talk about something better than a mouse, you know, don't want to have that. But this is the illustration. This is what the hawk does. And he sees the mouse down there. And he comes in on the mouse. And he's got to be very quiet. He's got to really, like, fall down without making the bit of sound. And yet he's got to go quickly. And then he's got to make that last moment when the mouse feels something, senses something going on, and he wants to run for his hole. The hawk has to be able to capture him. Now, Now, those are amazing eyes. Now, why does a hawk have such amazing eyes and we don't? Why can a hawk see from hundreds of feet in the sky the little tiny mouse down there? And we can't. We're 100 feet in the sky and we look down and we say, look at the little tiny people. We see them as just little people. They look like little ants crawling around, you know? But a hawk and other birds, they have that. Now, look at this one here. Did you ever try to swat a fly? They know you're coming. They can see out of the back of their head. They have those big eyes which have irises, all not irises, but the big eyes which has the ability to see out of each segment. And they can see around corners, so to speak. I mean, their eyes are bulging out there, and they can see. We just have our peripheral vision. They have supervision, like, you know, almost totally around the back of their head. And they know. They know what's going on. And they can see with this eye and this eye and interpret separately. Now, what fantastic talent is given to the fly who is here today and gone tomorrow, so to speak. And yet we, man, who is here much longer, doesn't have this. Now, wouldn't that be a nice thing for man to have? Well, you see, man has something that perhaps the animals have too, but we can think of it for ourselves. Man has perception. As I was walking the path this morning, and I was noticing that the Border Patrol left the gate open and did other things that they shouldn't do. And they come onto our private property and they do this and they walk. And then they walk around with flashlights looking for the international travelers and thinking to themselves, now, if they see us coming, they'll lay low and shut up, you know, they'll just be still. And then they're talking among them. I was walking out there, I could hear them talking way over on the other side of the property. And the lights of their truck, they get down by our gate and they turn around and go this way and go that way and staying by the gate. And I think to myself, my goodness, if you guys want to catch somebody, you're certainly not using the right technique. You'd better go to the school of the School of the Masters at the University of Healing. Because you see, in the School of the Masters, we teach you to be intuitive. We teach you to listen within. When I give a lecture, I listen within to what the people are interested in, what their needs are, their wants are, their hurts are, and then I speak to them. If you could go to each person in the group or the congregation or the audience that I speak to, you'd find the majority of them, not all of them, but you find the majority of them have had all their questions answered. In fact, they come up to you afterwards, as they often do, and say, you spoke right to what I needed to hear. Why? Because I intuitively listen within their heart. I mentioned now, the Border Patrol, back to the Border Patrol. If they really want to do their job right, and this is written up in a magazine recently, that the higher echelon of the Border Patrol have been put on special duty at the, like Tijuana and so forth, where a great deal of traffic comes in, because they can sense when something needs to be sensed. They sense when illegal traffic is coming through, or when the illegals or something is coming through. They just sense it. And you see, this is what the Border Patrol might teach their people, to be sensitive, to be tuned in like their superiors are, who realize that you can't just go in there with your uniform and your flashlights and your automobile lights and catch people. Like they told me, and they said, well, they eluded us tonight. We were on their trail, but they eluded us. And I said, well, in my heart, I said, good for them. And to the officers, I said, well, better luck next time. I know. You see, we have so many Border Patrol people because none of them are trained right. Mm. they're not trained as trackers, as the early pioneers. They would track these things. And the Indians, you know, the Indians could walk silently through the woods. And then the Border Patrol sends a single Border Patrol lady in the car out here and driving out here. My goodness, you know. And she was almost reluctant to speak to me because I was, you know, unexpected along the path as I was walking along there. And I said, just a minute, you know. And she stopped, hold her gun, you know. And I said, do you always close the gate? Oh, yes, we always close the gate. I said, well, the gate was open before you drove in tonight. I said, the previous Border Patrol people who came through left it open. No, we always close it. Well, she shouldn't be defensive. She should just say, thanks for reminding me. We should always close the gates whenever we go through them, you know, but not say, we did, you know, we do. But if she wants to have harmony and right action, she has to have confidence and she got to listen. Now, what would she do if she found drug runners? What would she do if she found people who were big money stuff, you know? How would she handle that alone? Well, she'd be scared stiff. She'd call for help right away. And how does she handle it when she finds some illegal aliens coming through, you know, the international travelers? How does she, they're not a menace. At least they shouldn't be. And it's just a matter that if you catch them this time, then they go home and come back again next week. And the next week. I mean, that's known, that's understood. Why they play the game, I mean, why we play the game with them is interesting. But, c'est la vie. We can listen within. We can tune within. You see, that's part of the body. If your job is to find people illegally coming across the border for some reason, then you should be trained in being intuitive, trained in being sensitive to where they are and how they are. The early trackers, the pioneers trackers, they knew where things were. They could see the path that was most generally taken. And these fellows should know that too. And as I walk along the path here, I see pathways that are used by the international travelers. And I think to myself, why don't you check those areas out? Because that's where they are. They're not on our road. They're not on out in the open here. They want to be secluded. You know? They want to get through. And they do beautifully. So, you see, we have the ability in our body to train ourselves to be intuitive, to train ourselves to be trackers, to train ourselves to do the job that we presumably have to do. We're not a hawk, but we could have the ability to see at several hundred feet a mouse on the ground that far away. I mean, can you see a mouse from here, just say up there by the fence? And that's not very far away, you know. And that'd be rather good. Can you, lizards, you can't even see them. They're about the same size as a mouse, you know. But we're not trained for that. We have the ability within our body to do all these magical, wonderful things. And then I was thinking, yes, and what about my heart? Is my heart absolutely perfect, doing its perfect job? Yeah. My lungs, my hearing, my seeing, everything is perfect. You see, when we say my ideal body, we're saying a body that is the original. It's not a matter of a remake. It's not a matter of somebody else's borrowed heart, which is a very lovely thing to be able to do, you know. But it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of living in a joyous, happy, wonderful, ideal self. What is our ideal self? We don't know, so let's not play with that. But the divine in us does know. And it knows very well. And if we say we are sick, the divine in us says, that wasn't on my menu, but okay, if that's what you want, then you got it. And if we say that we're whole and perfect, the divine in us says, wow, we're on cue. We're doing just fine. So find out what it is that turns you on. Find out what it is that makes you happy. and think about those things. Think on those things that are good and beautiful and fantastic, and let them be manifest in our life, in your life, my life, because this is part of our opportunity to be master of ourselves. And as we're master of ourselves, then we're master of our body, we're master of our world. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am wealthy. Yes, the abundance of the universe just floods in my life constantly. But I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal body. I'm just always expressing my ideal body. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Well, you can have that too. It's just a matter if they would train the Border Patrol people like they trained the early scouts who went out, you know, to do scouting, they'd be wonderful. But they train them with the rules and regulations of what's right and what's wrong and what's this and what's that. And they don't have to know all that stuff. All they have to know is how to tune in to a violator and bring him in. And if they would just concentrate on that humanely, because it's just part of a game we're all playing. The game we're playing of being good and being bad. And when a child is bad, you don't kill him because, you know, he has violated the goodness law. And when a child is good, you don't praise him to the skies. You honor him and appreciate it. But see, this is not an all or nothing thing. It's a matter of where are our values? Where is our desire? Our ideal body, what is that? It's whatever we believe about ourselves. Well, if we stop believing about ourselves and start intuitively knowing about ourselves, that we are divine, and that we can see with the eye of a fly or an eagle, we can hear. I don't know who hears very good. Dogs hear very well. Other types of animals hear very well. Okay. Yeah, cats, yeah. And cats, they can see in the dark. Now, isn't that nice? I know I've been training myself in the early morning hours when it's quite dark to see in the dark. If I go immediately from the house and then try to walk, I can't find the path. But if I'll just stop a few moments, for instance, the time it takes me to walk from here, from the Hermitage to the embassy, my eyes have adjusted perfectly to the night sky and the night walking, and it's really quite lovely. So this is just part of our game of life. The ideal body, we are only getting little glimpses of it from now and then, whereas we could be living in it full time, and that'd be kind of nice. So let this affirmation, this thought for today be, my ideal body, my ideal body, my ideal body is my body now. And so it is. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.